And our missions committee, Christy, and the missions committee that decides to do this and steers it and keeps it moving, and another year. But, you know, you just think of the thousands of churches that do this, small, big, and in between, and the power that comes from all this united effort making it happen. It's just unbelievable. The Christmas season. I won't ask who's ready for Christmas. I know people that were ready for Christmas before Thanksgiving came. Shopping done, cards done. And if you're one of them, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name that I learn to love you, because I have a problem with that. It's a busy month for many of us in all kinds of ways. But in the Advent season, there's different liturgical. I didn't grow up in a liturgical church, a liturgical church being Episcopalian, Lutheran, even Methodist congregational. And they follow a church calendar very systematically when they do that. There's actually a couple different depending on the cycles. When it was designed, we didn't have the materials that we have today, and it was to try to get churches on the same page at the same time so people were learning the same things. There was a lot of good thought. A lot of good things came out of that, but as time has gone on, the non-liturgical churches, some of them have never even heard of it. But so the Advent system, if I can call it that, kind of sprung out of both the Catholic background and the liturgical church background. And depending on which year's cycle you're on, second Sunday of Advent is peace. And since we're in a non-liturgical church, I can pick anyone I want. So I pick peace. Peace. What do you think of when you think of peace? And remember how it's spelled. It's not pie. What do you think of when you think of peace? No conflict. No conflict. We just had the 100th anniversary of World War I's armistice, November 11th. And it was called The War to End All Wars. Someone hadn't read their Bible. Because Jesus said they're going to keep happening, wars and rumors of war. If you've been following the news this week, Paris is literally under siege by its own people. Anyone follow any of this? It's not our news, and sometimes it goes by the wayside, but they showed a shot looking down Champs-Élysées. I took 3 years of French. I still can't pronounce it anyway. And you see all the safety vests. That's their protest color, wearing all those safety vests. And they started protesting a new tax on energy and fuel, as I understand it. So the president repealed the tax, but that didn't make any difference. And you know, you can go online or go on the news and the rioting and the whole thing. And peace. What is peace? The absence of conflict. But without getting into French politics, of which I know less than nothing about, honestly, but I think it doesn't take much for any people to be at odds with any other people. I mean, you and I could have a disagreement this morning, because it happens all the time, that ends lengthy relationships, right? It just happens. Peace. So, well, let's look at a definition of peace. Well, I'm going to start with this great verse. We're going to come to the fuller verse in a minute, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and we'll list the names out in a minute, but one of them is what? Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. The Catholic parish, including Lewiston Sabbatus in Lisbon, is called the Prince of Peace Parish. And when Father Lionel was over here and working very hard, he's elderly now and not able to do as much, but I thought that's a great name for that group, Prince of Peace Parish. We need peace. Peace is defined a couple different ways. This is one I pulled off the internet. Freedom from disturbance, or quiet and tranquility. I like the freedom from disturbance part. Disturbance. Something disturbs you. If something disturbs you, usually there's a reason for it. There's something, you could have a physical thing. I cut my finger this morning unloading the dishwasher. So the sermon illustration is men never unload the dishwasher, right? That's your take home from this. Lois has one of these chopper things that have the little, it's a little sectioned off box thing with blades in it. And I reached in there and I just touched those blades. But I'm telling you something, they're slicer dice. They're sharp. and then I wasn't happy. Anyway, so, you know, something disturbed me. A device in the dishwasher disturbed me. And it wasn't Lois's fault, was it? I wasn't really mad. I was mad at myself. Actually, I didn't want this for a sermon illustration, but it's pretty real. I was mad at myself. And I don't know about you. When I'm mad at myself, I'm about as mad as I get. I sometimes am more angry with myself and my own stupidity than I am with anybody else. But you can tick me off later today and we can test that. So peace. When are we at peace? Here's the full verse of Isaiah 9:6. For to us, I underline that on purpose, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. All these names are worth just going over in your mind and absorbing them. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. But this morning we're going to focus on the peace part, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. And I'm not so interested in the rank position, Prince. It's just, it's a title. This is Hebrew poetry, but it's a title of power, peace and power. And sometimes they do go together, peace and power. And only Jesus gives this peace. You probably know that to some extent. That's why you're sitting here. But most of us have things going on in our lives that are peace thieves, peace robbers. They take our peace from us. Remember, Jesus said Satan does three things. Satan does three things. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he likes to steal the peace that Jesus said he would give us. From John 14, the Last Supper discourse, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And then he says this, do not be afraid. Now, as I was working on this, I pondered a little bit on the fear thing and the peace thing. I hadn't thought of fear and how it is related to peace, but they are. There's a direct interaction between these two words. When you read the Christmas story, when the angel appears to Mary, do you know what he says to her? Opening words? Don't be afraid or fear not. What does the angels say to Joseph in a dream? Similar. What do the angels say to the shepherds in the field? Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Because we are fearful. And without Christ, I would say we have every right to be fearful. You can chew on that one a little more if you want. But when Jesus gives us his peace, it says later on, perfect in Scripture, John writes, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So I've been kind of puzzling over this. Peace. What does it mean? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Where do we need peace? Well, I can say in the world. Obviously, France is a mess, but you don't have to go far to find conflict. Conflict is everywhere. We have family conflict. We have family conflict. It's kind of I'll call it interesting, for lack of a better word. As a pastor, as a fire chaplain too, I end up meeting a lot of families at a time of loss, and most, and especially on the chaplain side, I don't know these families when I meet them. I'm getting acquainted, but sometimes I have had, I've been asked to go ahead with a funeral service or memorial service. And at that time, they cautioned me about family conflict. We don't know who's coming. We don't know how they're going to behave. And so-and-so hasn't been around for X number of years, but there's family, unresolved family conflict. And I can remember a time when it was for a Christian family that I know, and we prayed ahead of time, and everybody showed up, and it went beautifully. God answered prayers. It was good. I think it was a time of healing for them. But this conflict, sometimes it's resolved, sometimes it isn't. In you and I, we have conflict, and we need peace. And ultimately, the peace, the way I image it in my imagination, I need vertical peace before I can achieve horizontal peace. My vertical peace is my relationship with God. And that, of course, comes through a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So it's peace with God, and then the peace in us, peace with ourselves, because world peace, whether it's a couple or a family or in a workplace or a church or wherever, it starts with me, this peace. I have to have peace with God and peace with myself. Those are very important. I want to play a clip now that made me think of this peace thing. There have been two movies in the last couple years, Christian movies, that have been very, I think, everyone's got opinions on movies, but I think very well done. And many of you have seen them by now. This first one we're going to show a clip from is from War Room. And Lois and I have watched it several times. We've recommended it to other people. We've offered the CD to people. Because it's the War Room is talking about a place of prayer, a place where we wrestle in prayer with God for loved ones. And so in this video clip, there's a gal that is a Christian. There's conflict in her home. She doesn't know what to do about it. She's not really up on scripture, but she's a realtor. She's going to sell a house for an elderly lady. And as they meet and get acquainted, the elderly lady doesn't waste much time zooming in on her. She's not so worried about selling the house as she is the leading lady's soul. And but it's fascinating because we talk about peace. Where is this peace coming from? So I don't click it. Dawn runs this, so I know we're a little, we got snow, when there's snow on the ground, you get a lot more ambient light coming in the room, but why don't you roll the video, Dawn? I'll pull this one, see if it helps.
Maybe not. Oh, that's almost 3 pages.
And I could write more, but you'll get the gist of it when you read it.
Actually, I'm not gonna read it. My question to you is this. In light of all these wrongs, does God still love Tony?
We both know he does.
Do you?
Now, Miss Clara, you're meddling. There's love in my heart for Tony, but it's just buried under a lot of frustration.
So he needs grace.
Grace? I don't know that he deserves grace.
Do you deserve grace?
Miss Clara, you have a habit of backing me up in a corner and making me squirm.
I felt the same way. But the question still remains, do you deserve grace? The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one, for we have all sinned. So really none of us deserve grace, but we all still want God's forgiveness. Elizabeth, it comes down to this. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He died for you, even when you did not deserve it. And he rose from the grave and offers forgiveness and salvation for anyone who turns to him. But the Bible also says that we can't ask him to forgive us while refusing to forgive others.
I know, Miss Clara, but that's just so hard to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But that's where grace comes in. He gives us grace. And he helps us to give it to others, even when they don't deserve it. We all deserve judgment. And that is what a holy God gives us when we don't repent and believe in his son. I had to forgive Leo for some things. And it wasn't easy, but it freed me. Elizabeth, there's not room for you and God on the throne of your heart. It's either him or it's you. You need to step down. Now, if you want victory, you're going to have to first surrender.
But Miss Clara, do I just back off and choose to forgive and then just let him walk all over me?
God is a good defense attorney. Trust it to him. And then you can turn your focus to the real enemy.
The real enemy?
The one that wants to remain hidden. The one that wants to distract you and deceive you and divide you from the Lord and your husband. You see, that's how it works. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is stealing your joy. He is killing your faith, and he's trying to destroy your family. If I were you, I would get my heart right with God, and you need to do your fighting in prayer, and you need to kick the real enemy out of your home with the word of God. It's time for you to fight, Elizabeth. It's time for you to fight for your marriage. It's time for you to fight the real enemy. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
I love that little lady. I don't know where they found her for that part, but she is absolutely perfect for it. Absolutely perfect. We have a real enemy that wants to steal our peace. And you say, wow, is it that simple? I don't, in a two-hour movie, they kind of have to, in a sense, oversimplify some things. I would never say that it's simple. But I would say as we go to Scripture and we focus on who Jesus is and what he's done for us, then we do connect, and we have to fight in prayer, wrestle with our enemies. The Bible says, James writes, resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I think for myself, maybe for you, that should be an exercise we do often. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And we do that through prayer. We do it by spending time in God's word. It helps me with Christian music, keep my head focused on my Jesus. Keep my heart focused. We froze. There we go. So what do you want? Justice? Justice? I'd seen this before, but it's funny. On the YouTube clip, when I was looking for that clip, they had people's comments down under the clip. I was scanning some of the comments, and somebody posted this, which I had to only edit a tiny bit. Justice is what? Getting what you deserve. Mercy is what? Not getting what you deserve, but what's grace? Getting what you don't deserve. Getting what you don't deserve. And I have to keep coming back to that for myself. God blesses me far beyond anything I could deserve. And I think there's a trap. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you're working at the job, you're working with people who don't know the Lord, their sins are sometimes very visible and apparent. It's pretty easy to start thinking subconsciously, man, do they need a Savior? They are in trouble, but I'm okay. And when we do that, there's something that happens. I call it this, there's a scab that starts getting over our heart. We start losing our sensitivity to who we are as sinners saved by grace, and we start losing sensitivity to other sinners who need a Savior. So, you know, for myself, I am blessed. I grew up in a Christian home with great Christian parents. I grew up in a good church. I've had so many things, and yet I'm still a sinner saved by grace through and through, right? And then I'm back to this verse, because this verse has been very real to Lois and I. We've been going over it a lot in the last couple of months. I did use it last Sunday. You say, didn't you use it last Sunday? Yes, I did, and I'm intentionally back on it this Sunday, because last Sunday we were looking at, on the first Sunday of Advent, the word, and we'll look at hope again next week. But Paul's letter to the Philippians, while he's in house arrest in Rome, while he's not certain of his own future, he tells them to rejoice, tells them to pray, and then if they will rejoice in the Lord with thanksgiving and pray, he said then something happens, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. But that's not the end of the verse. The last three words are how that verse works. It is the foundation to that verse. In Christ Jesus, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what, for me, this is an exercise, if you will. It's an exercise so my own heart is at peace with God and at peace with others. Why? Because I am in Christ Jesus. I need his help. As they were saying in the video clip, I need his grace. It's easy to see where, boy, oh boy, other people need help, but I need to come back and receive from Jesus what I need first. Because I'm forgiven, then I can forgive. Because I've received grace, then I can offer grace. But I think sometimes we're calling people to reach out in grace or forgiveness, and they haven't experienced God's grace yet. They don't understand how that works, and so they can't do it. I think that's where the star gal was there. She hadn't gone that far with the Lord yet to understand that. This was all new thinking to her. God's grace. When you've been hurt, it's really something. I think we're going to play the music video, Don. He's going to cue that up. But here's the words from it. I played it a couple years ago in here. This is from the band Mercy Me. What's his last name? Yeah, Millard, M-I-L-L-A-R-D. And last night on our dish satellite system thing that we have, they had the movie I Can Only Imagine on, which we'd seen in the theater earlier this year. How many of you have seen that movie? Yeah, it's very powerful. Yeah, and it was fun to watch it again last night. It's just such an amazing story of how this man made peace with God and then finally made peace and how God changed his dad's life. And he struggled to forgive his dad for all the hurt. His dad was horribly abusive. The mom left the family because the dad was an alcoholic, abusive dad. He beat the kids, the whole thing. And it brings out in the movie, Bart growing up as a kid had Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith cassettes, and that's what fed his soul when he was a kid. He listened to those cassettes, and then in real time, as the movie brings out, he meets them. But he ends up writing the song, I Can Only Imagine, which right now, of all Christian music, is globally still the number one selling Christian song of all time. It used to be Amazing Grace because that's been recorded plenty too. But, and in the movie, he brings out, after he had made peace with God and made peace with his dad, and his dad passes away, he writes the song. But he's telling Amy Grant, it took me 10 minutes to write the song. And she answers him, no, it didn't. It took you a lifetime to write the song. All the events in his life had brought him to that point. But I thought of singing that, but I really like this song, Flawless, because in the movie, the video they bring out, there's some really cool movie effects. And with our band, we haven't learned the song, and we can't put on the mud, and we don't have the white suits, and we can't get the mud off us the way they do it on the video. So we didn't try that this morning here. That would have been entertaining, but not as effective. But that's part of the chorus. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still, the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. And after seeing the movie, I thought of the song, and I thought, for Bart to know that's true for himself, and to know that was true for his dad, was huge. Was huge. So, Don, if you want to roll the video, please.
There's got to be more.
You can see why we didn't do it. It really went tricky and messy for our band to do that. I don't know, and I don't really like, no offense for you that like them, I don't like most contemporary music videos, but that one grabs me, not just because of the mud technology, but because of the different characters they put on, representing a whole cross-section of people. And they hit pretty close to home to a lot of us in this room that have lived through or are living through some of those experiences. But to really come to the grace of God and find peace in our hearts, peace in my heart, because to know you're fully, fully and completely forgiven. And where John would write in his first letter, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' work on the cross was 100% effective for anyone who believe. Whosoever will may come. When Isaiah said that, I don't think he knew what it would mean, but he said, whoever comes will come and drink. And Jesus said, I am that. I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. I don't know where you are in your experience right now, but maybe you're struggling with doubts or with fears, or there's something robbing you of your peace. I want to just invite you now. We're gonna sing in a minute, but I want to pray first before we come up and sing, that we all individually, but still collectively, we come to the cross. We come to the cross, and in a fresh sense, recognize the greatness of Christ's salvation for me and for you. You might say, own it. And then whatever your struggle is, if it's a physical struggle, Jesus has got that. He's got it. If it's a family member you're praying for, Jesus has that. A work situation, a financial thing, Jesus has that. So bow with me in prayer, please. Lord God, as we come today, we come with a wide range of needs and problems, things that we fear, things that make us anxious, and all of these are peace robbers. They're peace thieves. They steal the peace that you bought and paid for on the cross. Maybe some of it is of our own making. Maybe we've struggled with sin and failed and we're discouraged. There could be all kinds of different reasons and scenarios. But we come to you, Jesus, the Savior, our Savior. And maybe someone says, well, he's not mine. You can do that right now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. What you did on the cross, I want it for myself. I want you as my Lord and Savior. Give me that peace that you promised. My peace I give you. And for those of us, whether we've been a Christian, you know, 5 minutes or 50 years or whatever, we come in a fresh sense this morning and appropriate your grace again in our lives, Jesus, that we may be gracious to others, that it would spill over. As you fill our hearts with your love and peace, it will spill out what we have from you overflowing to others. That's my prayer for myself and for our church family here, that we overflow with your love and grace. Peace with our God and Father first, peace with ourselves, then peace with others. Jesus, it is a work of grace. That's exactly what the lady said in the video clip. It's a work of grace when the other gal says, I can't do this, it's too hard. It is. But it's a work of grace, and Jesus, you are grace personified. You give us that grace. Amen? So appropriate that for yourself and watch and see how God works. I believe God loves to answer prayer. He loves to heal us physically, heal us spiritually, heal relationships. He's still very alive and well in doing that. Amen? So we're going to sing another Christmas piece in closing called Emmanuel, Hallowed Ground. And I love the poetry in this one. In verse 2, a little Bible history first, is from Malachi to Matthew, we have a 400 year of silence. No prophets, nothing going on. Well, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in world's history, and especially for the Jews. But 400 years of silence. And so that's why in verse 2 it says, what fear we felt in the silent age. 400 years, they were looking for the Messiah. Can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry. God had come to earth. Hardly anybody knew it. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be. It was better. Amen? So we're going to start with the chorus, and then once we get going, you can sing with us. Ladies, you did not leave us as orphans. We were not left here alone, Jesus. You came. And it is mind-boggling to think of Creator God as a baby in a cave. It's beyond mythology. It's bizarre. But we know now, reading the account, the lives changed, ours included. You did come. You did die. You did pay the price for sin. You have sent us your Holy Spirit. We were not left as orphans. Thank you, Jesus. God with us. Amen. We love you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gift of peace in our minds and hearts. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be in turmoil or uncertain. You are God Almighty. Almighty. Almighty God. That's one of your names, and I revel in that you're my God. You're our God. We praise you. Amen.
Make us grace givers this season in a special way. Make us grace givers. Let healing take place in bodies and in souls. Amen? You're dismissed. We'll have prayer and praise for a little while and then come back out here at 15 for choir practice. Sunday school kids are in here for a practice. No, I